Chapter 13, Little by Little, Part 3.
After performing the healing glyph on Amity, Luce chugged the painkillers with some water Amity brought to her. Amity was insisting Luce should take it easy and not move around more than she absolutely had to, which was perhaps excessive, but it was more than a little adorable how seriously she was taking her mom's instructions.
Why don't you get some rest now?
Amity turned off the ceiling light, maybe a little too proud of herself for finally understanding how light switches worked. After one last additional check that her flower hair clip was safely placed on top of her nightstand, Luce finally laid down.
God, this is seriously gonna mess with my sleep schedule. She sighed, but her pounding head refused to let her protest in a more convincing manner.
Lou, you woke up at 4 this morning. Pretty sure we can consider that done, Amity joked, only realizing a few seconds after that her brain had apparently decided she was using affectionate nicknames for Luce, not without asking Amity first.
What was that human expression Luce had kept trying to explain to Gus?
In for a penny, in for a pound? If Amity was going to be a love-struck mess around Luce no matter what, it might as well be on her own terms.
Want me to tuck you in, beautiful?
Amity said, making a point of exaggerating her tone so hopefully it came out more joking than flirtatious.
What was that human expression Luce had kept trying to explain to Gus?
In for a penny, in for a pound? If Amity was going to be a love-struck mess around Luce no matter what, it might as well be on her own terms.
Want me to tuck you in, beautiful?
Amity said, making a point of exaggerating her tone so hopefully it came out more joking than flirtatious.
Where Amity got the bravery for these things, she had no idea. She supposed it was just another way this past summer's experiences had changed her.
Luce chuckled.
Someone's feeling bull today, huh?
Amity winked.
Maybe so. Internally, she was begging herself to please just stop talking. What was I thinking?
Luce smiled.
And for the record, yeah, I'd love to be tucked in.
Amity took the pillows one by one to fluff them up a bit, then reached for the blanket and gently pulled it over Luce's shoulders, making sure it covered her whole.
Luce hadn't been tucked in a while. It had always felt nice when her mom did it. But coming from Amity, it was a completely different experience, obviously. Because her mom was her mom, and Amity was...
Luce had to cut that line of thinking short before she invited a repeat of the almost kiss incident from earlier in the afternoon. Just thinking about that was enough to bring a slight blush to her cheeks, which, she hoped, went unnoticed in the darkness.
There you go,
Amity whispered when she was finally satisfied.
I'll sit with you until you fall asleep, if that's okay with you.
She'd promised Camila to make sure Luce actually slept, and she intended to make good on that.
I'd love that,
Luce whispered. Amity took the purple desk chair and put it next to the bed, letting her hands rest on top of the blanket after she sat down.
God, what did I do to deserve you?
Amity had to be the most incredible person Luce had ever met, and she'd just taken a full 15 minutes to ensure Luce was comfortable, and seemed perfectly content, excited even, to do so. Luce's stomach was filled to the brim with butterflies. She hadn't had a clue that being this madly in love was even possible.
It was the greatest feeling in the world.
Pretty sure I should be the one asking you that, Amity whispered back, and gave Luce a gentle peck on the forehead. Amity had seen Camila do that yesterday, had promptly concluded it was probably some platonic human goodnight thing,
and decided she wanted to try it. Luce smiled at her, and Amity was proud that she'd managed kissing her without turning into a completely flustered mess. Even if it wasn't on the lips, that was still progress, right?
"Sorry for sleeping so early again, by the way," Luce said with a dejected sigh. "I'd much rather spend more time with you, but my head is killing me."
"No, don't apologize for not feeling well, you goof," Amity said empathetically. "It's fine. I still have some assignments from earlier this week I need to catch up on, so I can hand them in tomorrow. So it's not like I'm gonna get bored. Your mom helped me a lot yesterday, but we didn't get entirely done. And after that, I might actually come to bed and get some extra sleep for once." She smiled at Luce. "Besides, I'm used to spending most of my time alone. Worst case scenario, I'll find myself a book to read, or do a bit of extra studying."
Luce hated how casually Amity said that. Every glimpse she got of what Amity's home life must have looked like made her heart sink like a stone in her chest. Images of young Willow and Amity came flying back, and Luce once again felt an overwhelming desire to smash her crush's parents through the nearest wall. She freed an arm from around the comforter. While it was adorable that Amity took her job so seriously, Luce didn't need to be completely covered by blankets, and rested her hand over Amity's, stroking a thumb gently over her knuckles.
"Please, just come to bed when you're done, yeah? I sleep better in your arms."
For a second, all Amity could do was stare. As a little girl, she had dreamed of moments like this, of cozy evenings spent with someone she loved, of gentle eyes and a soft voice asking her to come to bed. It was just like Luce, to turn Amity's dreams to reality in the space of a second, and not even realize what she had done. Finally, Amity found her voice.
"Of course, Luce," she murmured. "Wouldn't miss it for the world."
"Good," Luce yawned and gave Amity's hand a gentle squeeze.
"I'll make sure you never ever feel so alone again."
All Emmer wanted was to go back to sleep. It was barely even dark yet, but she wanted nothing more than to pull the blanket over her head and knock herself out with another spell. She'd barely gotten anything done today. She'd showered and eaten. That had to be worth something, right? But accomplished next to nothing beyond that. The twins still didn't feel ready to face school again. Ida had said that that was fine, and that they could skip for as long as they wanted. But that also meant they hadn't talked to the troublemakers yet, and all in all, not contributed enough to the portal for Emerald to feel like she was actually helping. They were making progress, yeah, but it was slow progress. But with every passing day, the reality of Amity's absence dawned on her more. Every day Amity was gone was a day of school she'd have to catch up on, a day she didn't get to spend practicing her magic or taking a walk through the park or taking Luce out to her favorite bakery. And with Amity so far away, Emma felt like there was nothing she could do to properly make it up to her after what happened, after what Emerald had done.
"At least Ed is doing better."
Emma glanced over to where her brother and Ida were standing in the kitchen. Edric was laughing. He had batter all over what maybe was the silliest apron Emma had ever seen, was biting into something that looked almost as burnt as it looked disfigured. And he looked happier than Emma had seen him in years. Seeing Edric so happy was a welcome relief. Just a couple of nights ago, she'd been scared she'd never hear him laugh again. Ida had kept on teaching Edric how to cook every now and again, a word Emma used with extreme skepticism, because it turned out Ida was only passable at cooking herself, and even worse at explaining how it worked to others. But they were having fun, and there was something about that that made Emerald's heart ache. Why was it that a woman they barely knew
had the ability to help Edric this effectively when the person that should know Edric better than anyone else couldn't.
I am the most useless sister in the entire world. And not just Edric, either.
The memory of Amity sobbing brokenly after Emrah carried out their plan echoed in the back of her mind as it had so many times in the last few days. Remembering that night made Emrah feel so ashamed she wanted to cry. But she couldn't even do that. The numbness in her chest had spread through her entire body, keeping her chained to the couch almost as much as the burnout had. She could have moved, but she didn't have the strength to. Emrah felt like a million broken pieces scattered all over the floor. Unable to put herself back together. Unable to even get up because everything was just too much.
I can't believe you really got away with that! That's incredible!
To Emrah, Edric's enthusiastic exclamation at whatever story Ida had told him might as well have been a whole world away. Ida chuckled.
Well, I've lived long enough to have a couple good tricks up my sleeve. But enough about my stories. You still owe me the ending to the one about the ghosts in the watchtower from yesterday.
Oh, right! I totally forgot!
As Edric launched into yet another enthusiastic retelling of a story Emrah had experienced and told what felt like a million times over, she pulled the blanket over her head. Her heart was a stone in her chest that pressed heavily onto her lungs and stole her breath away. Emrah just wanted to sleep. When she was asleep, she didn't have to think, didn't have to cry. She could just tune everything out for another hour or two or 20. Or forever. Forever sounds nice. But Emrah wasn't granted even that small measure of peace. She heard steps approaching and already had a vague idea of what was about to happen.
Em tells that part better than I do.
Edric put his hand on his twin's shoulder to get her attention.
Hey, Em! We were just getting to the part with the bell. Do you maybe wanna...
His sister let out an annoyed groan and shrugged his hand off.
No. You tell her. I'm sleepy, and it's not that funny anyway.
Edric's face fell. It felt as if the room had just turned colder by a couple degrees. Emrah absolutely loved telling the watchtower story. It was probably her favorite prank of all time. If he couldn't even get through her that way, how else was he supposed to? But he wasn't ready to give up just yet.
Didn't you stay up past 3 in the morning just last week? It's barely 8 in the evening. If you're tired already, you're either growing old way faster than I thought, or we should maybe call a healer. I could see if Vinny's free if the latter's the case.
The teasing jab in her direction was gentle enough, but Emrah was not in the mood for it.
Ha, funny. She pulled the blanket down just barely so she could fix her brother with an exhausted glare.
Leave me alone, Ed. In case you hadn't realized, I've had a really horrible week.
The words came out harsher, more loudly than she had intended them to. Her brother visibly flinched back, his shoulders slumping, and his teasing smile fading.
You're right. I'm sorry. That was stupid.
The numb resignation that filled his voice as he turned away broke her heart.
Good work, the spiteful voice in her head whispered. It's not enough to make yourself miserable. You also have to drag your brother down with you?
Emrah's greatest skill, it seemed, was thoughtlessness. She couldn't do anything else right. But it seemed she really excelled at hurting the people she loved.
Titan, I'm so stupid!
Not only was she unable to support her brother the way he needed her to right now, that would have been awful enough in itself, but she was also dealing with her own stuff so poorly that it was hurting Edric on top of everything else. And there was also that small, idiotic part of her, the part she tried so very hard to ignore, that was jealous of her brother. It was the part of her that wanted to cry when she looked at his genuine smiles. Because when was the last time she had smiled like that? All Emery knew how to do was stuff her emotions back into her stupid box until they burst out all at once and ate her alive.
Maybe I'd be less miserable if I was more like him. She wiped the tears off her cheeks, took a couple deep breaths to steel herself, then slowly sat up, pulling the blanket around her shoulders.
Edric, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I know you just meant well, and Tyen apologizing was hard.
Her brother turned around to face her again, visibly more tense than he had been earlier. But he flashed her a teasing smile as he raised an eyebrow.
Are you apologizing? Who are you, and what have you done to my sister?
His tone wasn't quite right to sell the joke, and it was obvious that he was still upset. But he was trying, and she appreciated that.
Me? Apologizing? Nah. She patted the couch cushion next to her.
Sit with me for a bit?
Sure.
And for a while, they did just that, sitting there next to each other in silence. Emma tried to think of more to say. She should talk about how she was sorry and scared and not dealing with everything very well. But she hadn't been that open with how she felt in years. She wasn't even sure she remembered how. Her brother put an arm around her, but the warmth of the gesture didn't quite reach her heart. She opened her mouth time and again, but just couldn't think of what to say.
Thank you were the only two words that eventually made it out of her mouth. She didn't clarify, and he didn't ask, but she hoped he understood anyway. Then she plastered on the same smile she'd been so used to faking for the last couple of years.
Okay, so maybe I'm staying up a little bit longer. Think I could join you, Ida, and King for a round or two of whatever the heck you guys played yesterday before I go to sleep?
That had to be moping around on the couch all day, right? It was better than continuing to ruin Edric's mood, at least. What was another fake smile, after all? As long as it ensured he kept his genuine ones. The game seemed fun, even with how little Emra had seen of it the day before, and she felt more capable of doing that than she did of actually communicating or telling a story, even one she loved as much as the Watchtower story. Edric's face lit up.
Of course! You'll love this, I promise!
He pulled the box that was on the living room table from the day before close to them, opened it, and start explaining the basic rules. If enough people were participating, you usually played in teams of two. So...
Hey, King! You will play with M?
Edric asked, after a while of explaining. The little demon had gotten up from his resting place on the other couch as soon as Edric had opened the box, and was currently preoccupied with violently smashing two of the small plastic game figurines against each other.
Depends, King replied, sizing her up skeptically from behind his battle. Is she ruthless enough to play to win, no matter the cost? Emma cracked her knuckles dramatically, a sinister grin spraying across her face. Please, I was thrown out of the Bughouse Club for a reason. Edric shuddered.
Yeah, you should have seen her last match. That was brutal.
King put the figurines down and looked at her, intrigued. What did you do?
Ed's totally exaggerating, Emra said dismissively, but leaned down to tell the little demon what had happened anyways.
King's little tail wiggled excitedly, and Edric politely bit back a comment about how adorable that looked.
Wow, you really are evil.
The king of demons stretched his paw out towards M. All right, I'm playing with you.
She shook it. That's pretty high praise coming from the king of demons himself, she replied with a small grin. Emra couldn't quite pin down why it was, but she liked King. Maybe it was him proposing some sacrificial ritual to use their parents for after Ida had quietly told him why the twins were staying at the owl house on Monday.
Maybe it was simply because she couldn't quite grasp how much this ruthlessness and bloodlust could fit into such a tiny, adorable-looking creature. It was amazing. Like he was simultaneously some ancient, all-powerful being. If you believed him, that was. And a bratty toddler. Maybe it was the way he had comforted Emra on Monday, when she had been too drained to do anything but lay on the couch and feel sorry for herself. Ida had asked King to keep an eye on Emra while she and Edric were cooking so someone could let them know if Emra needed anything. And after a bit of token complaint, he'd complied. As soon as others had walked into the kitchen, when he was sure they weren't looking anymore, he climbed on top of her blanket, curling up like a cat.
"Listen up, couch stealer. I don't like being petted."
But Luce once said that she finds it calming.
"So I shall grant you permission if you wish to do so, as long as you swear solemnly never to tell anyone about this, and don't get used to it."
Probably. Emma liked King for all of those reasons. "Do any of you want some snacks?" Ida asked from the kitchen. "I stocked up on roasted spider legs after Luce left." Ed elbowed his sister. "You love these, don't you?" Emra couldn't help but feel like it wasn't a coincidence that was the snack Ida had mentioned. "Titan! Haven't had those in years!" Alador and Odalia had forbidden her from having them after one harmless occasion where she'd cast a spell to make them move for fun during dinner. "I'll take some."
"Me too!"
King squealed excitedly. "Luce wouldn't let us eat them when she was around. She was a little squeamish about that particular dish for some reason. Apparently humans don't normally eat that." Ida shrugged after placing the bowl down next to the board game on the table. "Kate doesn't know what she's missing." Ida's expression turned a little sad for a moment. Then she pulled herself together. "You're joining us today, huh?" Em shrugged. "Guess so." King punched his little fist into the air.
"Come on! Show more fighting spirit!"
"All right, all right." Emra chuckled a little, doing her best to force a wider smile.
"Let's crush them!"
The crunch of the large spider legs she'd picked from the bowl underlined the statement nicely. Half a round and two minor fires later, Emra had to admit that she was feeling at least a little bit better. Maybe today wouldn't be completely terrible after all. End of chapter.